a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Joe and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah! On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
It's rodeo time in Houston, and ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 are celebrating Rodeo Eve live at Republic Boot Company in the Heights. Now, from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Welcome in to Gallant and George here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I am Joe George alongside Paul Gallant. Paul, welcome back from Mexico.
I'm back.
You're back?
Am I back in spirit? I don't know.
You're really
I might need
here?
To get some spirits because we have spirits around us here.
Yeah, we are live at Republic Boot Company. They're doing 15% off rodeo-ready boots right now. And if you get a custom set of boots as well, you can get a Republic Turtle Box, $400 value. They don't have them all right now, but they'll get them to you when they have them. So we're here at Republic Boot Company all day till 6 o'clock.
This place is sick.
This place is awesome. I've never been in here before. We're going to do fun facts today.
Yeah.
So we can get to know each other.
Okay.
I love the smell of leather.
You like the smell of leather?
Yeah, I don't know why. Some people like gas, like the smell of gas.
My sister liked the smell of gas. Some people like the smell of markers. You ever get a little white out in your life?
I mean, when we grew up, Paul, because we're pretty close in age, they had like the blueberry Expo markers. that's what it was back
those.
In the day.
Okay.
So obviously we got a lot to get in today. First of all, it's nice to see you.
Good to see you too.
I was a little worried you weren't going to make it back from Mexico for our first show.
You know what? I was surprised that I made it back. I was surprised that I made it back. It was a 5-day wedding with my best friend and another one of my close friends. And the reason I love Houston as much as I do, in addition to you beautiful people that are listening right now, is because I found a roving band of alcoholics that are still in denial about the fact that they are probably at a point in their lives where they should be dialing back a little bit.
Okay.
And basically all of those people went to an all-inclusive resort in Cabo, Mexico. And, yeah, I'm surprised my voice works. I think it'll work the whole show.
Okay.
We will see.
Yeah, well, you're already in full gear. You got your boots on.
Hell yeah, dude.
You took a picture with, what's the chicken's name?
That is Pinecone.
Pinecone.
The prediction chicken.
Yeah.
You took my dog.
But obviously, we have a lot to get into today. Our first show. I'm excited to be doing this with you. I appreciate the kind words that you said yesterday on social media. That was very nice of you, Paul.
I didn't say that to you in person. I did it on social media to make it seem like I was cool. Yeah, but like, do I actually feel that way? I don't know. I guess we'll find out.
We're going to find out. You guys are obviously welcome to the show. 713-780-3776. We're going to start the show today with this. Joe Espada has already made it very clear he's going to be a different manager than Dusty Baker. And there's a bunch of different ways we've kind of seen this. First of all, like the one big thing, maybe he's going to keep his guys in shape. Christian Javier, not fat anymore. He's lost 15 pounds.
Framber Valdez, a lot of internet sleuths believe that he all of a sudden is in better shape.
And his hair's gone. He got rid of the dreads.
Right. I think they're braids.
Braids. My bad.
Get the culture right, dude.
True.
Okay.
Fact. I got to make sure. You got to keep me correct, Paul.
A lot of people were well-actuallying Brian McTaggart when he tweeted out that he got a haircut. And I was like, well, I wouldn't have known that either. So glad it was Brian and not me.
But the first thing that we've got this weekend, that was kind of the one that it set Astros Twitter ablaze, and everyone was excited about it. And you saw people on both sides of this conversation. But Joe Espada said that he wants Yordan Alvarez to bat second. He said, quote, I see Altuve Alvarez being that 1-2 punch in your face right out the gate, and Bregy provides that on-base threat. He's so good with people on base, so having him potentially sandwiched in between Alvarez and Tucker is a good weapon and strategy for us. Yes, all of that.
You like it?
I do like that because it's more modern-day baseball. Like, we've seen Aaron Judge. We've seen Anthony Rizzo. Like, we've seen big-time power hitters bat first. We've seen Shohei Ohtani bat first. Like, most of these guys are and teams are moving away from like the traditional norms in which baseball was, you know, played for so long of your big power hitter bats fourth because you want to have the most guys on base. But in reality, the new analytics tell you that you want them to get the most at bats humanly possible. So I love the idea of Yordan Alvarez batting second.
I think it is smart to give a guy more at-bats over the course of the season. There is also an element of potentially beginning a game with a leadoff home run by Jose Altuve and Yordan Alvarez bombing a ball to the outfield as well, and you're going to have pitchers peeing their pants in the first inning and hopefully doing what Framber Valdez did a few too many times last year. My question is, does this guarantee better offense? It feels like everyone is in agreement on that, and my conventional wisdom, Joe, is when everybody agrees on something that I must not necessarily zag, I must look for a flaw in that. And, okay, you're going to have more at-bats for Yordan Alvarez, but is this going to hurt his ability to drive in a ton of runs? Is this going to potentially shake things up, I guess, where now you're so top-heavy at the top of the lineup, you want to space things out a little bit and make sure that everybody is, I guess, getting adequate protection as they describe it. So these are questions I have. Everyone is celebrating it already, and you know what? They probably should. To what you were talking about, ever since sabermetrics have taken hold in baseball over the last 20 years, more and more teams have been doing stuff like this. Well, guys like Dusty Baker have been 100% rooted in the past. Does it make the team better over the course of the entire season? It makes those guys' numbers better, but I don't know if it necessarily does the latter.
No, I think it's a fair point because I'm kind of like you. Like, if everyone's all in, it's like when you see gambling, you know? If everyone's betting on one side, we saw this the other night. Everyone was betting against Creighton, and then Creighton won by 10 against the number one team in the country. So, like, it's just kind of the way things go. When everyone's on one side, typically the other side wins. And the first thing that I thought of was Alex Bregman. Like, the idea of Alex Bregman hitting third, like, I hear you, Joe Espada. I hear the idea of sandwiching Bregman between Alvarez and Tucker sounds great. Well, Alex Bregman was in the top 10 last year for grounded into double plays. So, yes, you have Altuve and Yordan there. Honestly, the change I wanted was I wanted Bregman to be the leadoff hitter because he's so patient and he does ground into a lot of double plays. And I feel like I don't need him to be this RBI machine for this team. I'm cool with he wants to put his bat on his shoulder for six pitches and wait till he gets the perfect pitch and walk to first base.
Probably has the best eye on the team.
For sure.
So I like that. I'm now at a point where I'm not sure what any spot in a batting order is supposed to be. Remember, for the longest time, you had in the one spot, you had your fast guy who can steal bases. In the two spot, you had, in a more traditional role, a guy like Alex Bregman. In the three spot, was that where you have your best all-around hitter?
I don't know.
Or was the four spot the cleanup hitter? So
I think it depended on the year.
There were these defined roles for such a long period of time, and now all of a sudden it's changed. And the reason it's changed is because the game has changed so much. I'll say this over and over again. Sabermetrics have ruined baseball in a way. It is not as enjoyable of a watch because there's just not as much action taking place. There are basically three results that you generally see with the shift getting taken out. Okay, maybe it was a little bit different last year, but you have strikeouts, you have walks, you have home runs. That sucks. It sucks. It's not good.
No.
And these games, which started to take longer and longer because players are being choosy about what one pitches they want to hit, and also they're trying to swing up into the sky to hit everything into outer space. I think that it has a net. It has had a net bad impact on baseball. Cool, teams are smarter about it, but it's like, hey, the poor teams are winning now because they're operating in this strategy. The Rays, the A's, they're poor. And we pat them on the back. It's like, oh, look at what they do. So we see all of this, and it's cool to see that Joe Espada is embracing the new. I don't necessarily enjoy it.
Really?
But I feel like from a does it make the team better perspective, it might. It might not. I am of the mindset of when I look at this lineup and I think about what the Astros can do top to bottom, I don't know that flipping things at the top is necessarily going to have that big of an impact.
Yeah, I think it's more it starts the game off in a better way for you, you hope. Like 1 through 5. 1 through 6, if Jose Abreu is healthy, is probably still one of the best lineups in all of baseball. Like, honestly, it doesn't matter what order you put them in. You have Altuve, Alvarez, Tucker, Bregman, 1 through 4. Yainer Diaz, like, we're all hoping that he's going to be that guy. As long as him or Abreu is always going, you're really solid, like, 1 through 6 in some way. shape, or form. It's the bottom of the lineup that's, like, not great. It's kind of sketchy. It's a bunch of guys that are hopes and dreams, and you're hoping Pena bounces back, and his new launch angle swing is going to bring back the power, and that, you know, he's going to continue to be the guy. And theoretically, yeah. Another one of those things that I hate now about modern-day baseball is everything's about launch angle, when, like, I kind of like guys like Alex Bregman who are just get on base. Like, get on base and good things happen, and that's what really matters. I'm curious to your thoughts on Kyle Tucker and like the with him in the four spot though. Do you feel okay with that? Like, do you feel that that's something that matters to you? I know you said like the traditional spots don't.
I trust Yordan more in that spot than I trust Kyle, and part of it has to do with postseason performance. But ultimately, the lineup we're talking about now on a daily basis, okay, great in the regular season. But, I mean, this city, we're above the regular season. And it really is a matter of, hey, do you have a guy in that spot that you trust in the playoffs? And, okay, maybe over the course of the season, things can change. Of course, we're talking about this in February. But I do not trust Kyle Tucker anywhere close to the amount of trust that I have in Yordan Alvarez, who's one of the most terrifying postseason players when he's on his A game that I think we've ever seen.
100%. But the reason why the part of the lineup when it comes to postseason stuff where I like this move is that, I mean, how many times have we seen it comes down to Jose Altuve? Jose Altuve is the guy that's up like, in the biggest moment. And if you didn't feel great about Bregman or whoever else was batting behind him, now an opposing team, you're playing the Rangers in the ALCS next year. Like, their options are face Jose Altuve or Yordan Alvarez or put two guys on base. So, like, I think when it comes down to those moments, and that's where, like, it's the math of getting them more at-bats, that's where I do think that this works out in a very positive way for the Astros. I don't know if it'll last also. Like, Joe Espada did make it clear it was kind of an experiment. I just don't know, like, if he goes 30 games and it's not working, would you be bummed if he changed right away, or are you kind of hoping he sticks to his guns a little bit longer than that?
I hope that he is willing to adapt, right? I mean, that's all you can hope for, because when something doesn't work out and you had a strong conviction about it, to stay stubborn with it, that's what everybody was bitching and moaning about with Dusty Baker last year. Mm-hmm. So I would just say, looking at things and hoping that they are always flexible, because I think just being consistently rigid in anything in life is stupid.
100%. Because, like, even like the way like the Dusty wouldn't go back-to-back lefties, I still don't understand the idea of why can't Yordan Alvarez and Kyle Tucker just bat back-to-back?
Yeah.
Like, it's so stupid.
I don't get that.
Like, I know, like, the left-handed pitcher has to face three batters. So, like, yes, he's going to face both those guys anyways. Does it matter if they go back-to-back?
I don't think so.
0002 says, no more banana pudding or key lime pie. That's one of the big differences with Dusty Baker being gone.
You know what, though? It felt like those were comments that Dusty Baker was making about Chaz McCormick.
Yeah, they were, yeah.
As opposed to, like, Dusty was, just giving them banana pudding and key lime pie. Nothing wrong with those two things. Come on.
Are you, Paul, do you like key lime pie?
Key lime pie is the best pie there is.
No.
Yeah, it is.
No way.
Yes, it is.
It's not that
good. Well, you've never lived in Florida, so you wouldn't know.
That's a good point.
You wouldn't know.
Key lime pie is fine, but to say it's the best.
It's the best.
That's crazy.
If I am being put to death, I want my ribeye.
Okay.
Medium rare, okay. With chimichurri all over that bad boy,
and
I want my
pie.
Key lime pie. Yeah.
That's your
and
last
Pendleton
meal.
Whiskey, true Western tradition.
All right, he is Paul Gallant. You can find him on Twitter, at Gallant Says. I am Joe George on Twitter, at Joe George Radio. We got Brian McDonald back in the studio. We are live at Republic Boot Company. On Friday, we got the official word of what the franchise tag numbers will be for the 2024 season. Would you tag or would you pass Jonathan Greenard and Dalton Schultz? That's next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
It's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios inside Republic Boot Company in the Heights. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Joe George, Paul Gallant on Gallant and George here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Hanging out at Republic Boot Company. We'll be here all day till 6 o'clock. We'll be here till 3 every day going forward, Paul and I. Hopefully you guys will give us a shot here. Don't hate us. I know you all love Paul very much.
Yeah, I'm a star.
The people love Paul Gallant. That's why your name's first.
I think I love myself more than the people.
That's why your name's first on the show title, because you're the star.
I did not demand that, though.
I know you did.
I did not demand that. I actually, in a surprise twist for anybody who listens to my egomaniacal ass, yes, I was like, no, we can do it your way.
But it would have sounded like we're like one hybrid person.
That's
it's
true.
The George Gallant
Yeah,
show.
See, that's the problem with having two first names in my name is that if we called it George Gallant, it just sounds like that. You might have a family member named George Gallant.
No, we would never name someone in our family after a dirty limey. We don't do that. No, the limey's been messing with all my blood. The Irish, the French, the Scottish, nah.
Is that what you are, Paul? Irish, French?
I'm everything but English.
Okay.
I am everything but English. I watched Braveheart on the plane back, and I was like, yeah, thank God there was no George in that movie, huh?
Is that the first time you've seen Braveheart?
No, I've seen Braveheart.
Okay, good.
It's my favorite movie.
Good. I was just to make sure. I have questions that was the first time you saw
Braveheart. Doesn't mean a damn thing if you don't have freedom.
We do have, everyone has those movies, though, that you've never seen. Mine was The Godfathers. I had not, until when they put them on Netflix, all three of them, during the pandemic.
Okay.
Like, that's when I watched all of them.
Wow,
okay. So, like, 2020.
I saw, they had on HBO for a little bit of time.
Mm-hmm.
They put the whole part one and part two. They spliced all the scenes and they put them all in chronological order.
Oh.
So the flashback scenes in Godfather Part 2 are where you begin, and then Godfather Part 1 takes over.
Oh.
And then the Godfather Part 2 parts where everything happens, Fredo, the investigation by the Senate, all that stuff. It's a very interesting way to watch it. But I'm glad that you watched it. I'm not someone who shames people who haven't watched things. I just encourage you politely to watch things because that's the only way you're going
to
get people to
that's
do something.
True. Yeah, just be nice to them. Don't yell at them to do things. So on Friday, we got the new salary cap in the NFL, Paul. I know you were Mexico living, but the salary cap for 2024 is going to be $255 million. It bumps the Texans up. It looks like somewhere between like $67 and $68 million. Right around that range. Like, there's not this, like, massive correlation jump between, because you have to factor in current contracts, rookie stuff, everything that. But we did get the franchise tag numbers. And obviously the two that affect the Texans the most would be pass rusher, defensive end, and then tight end. So the tight end number, so if you wanted to tag Dalton Schultz, would be $12.3 million. To tag Jonathan Grenard, it would be $21.32 million. So let's start with Grenard. Because, like, I think he's the guy who people are more yes and no on him than Schultz, if they want to keep him or not. Would you tag Jonathan Grenard? Tag or pass, Jonathan Grenard, franchise tag, $21.3 million.
I'm not tagging anybody.
Okay.
I think with Grenard, there is obviously the risk that he would theoretically leave because he just had a career year. In a contract year, if you have a year like that, you should see what you are worth. Like, it is in your best interest, it's in your family's best interest to, at the very least, explore. You will have a hard time replacing that kind of production, but do you believe that that production came because of how good Grenard is, or do you feel like the arrival of Will Anderson, some additions to the defensive line, helped him out? If you do think it is the latter, you got to ask yourself whether it's franchise tagging him or giving a long-term extension. Do you believe that he is ever going to have another season like this? And I can't see the future. I don't know that for sure. I think Grenard did have a really good season this past year, but you can't give anybody $23 million for 1 year right now. No one is worth that. No offense to Jonathan Grenard. I'm not doing that with him. Schultz is maybe a little bit of a different question because, as you mentioned, you listed the number for him. What are we talking about? $7, $8, $9 million or so? If you are looking at tight ends, do you think he can do better than Dalton Schultz?
That's a good question because, like, Hunter Henry is one that's out there. Noah Fant's the guy that I like personally. Mm-hmm. If you're not going to go the Dalton Schultz route, where if you know Schultz for $12 million on a tag or $9 million on a contract, I think Noah Fant's gonna be like $4 million. Like, he hasn't been a big-time production player in Denver and Seattle, but everyone knows that there's still some juice there. So I'd rather take a flyer on him at that price than tag Schultz. But I would still lean, if I was going to choose between the two, I would go Schultz. Because, like, I'm not tagging or paying Jonathan Grenard because that's a guy who hasn't played close to a full season ever. Like, he's had two really good seasons, and he's had two really bad seasons or mostly injured seasons. But even when he had 8 sacks and 12 and a half sacks, he's missing time for, like, grade 1 ankle sprains 3 or 4 weeks. So I'm a no on Grenard. I wanted to be a yes. Maybe I'm in on him when free agency hits because I don't know if his contract is going to be
what he hopes it is, but I'm a no on Grenard for sure.
Yeah, it's too much. And, I mean, look, you do have a quarterback on a rookie deal, which gives you some flexibility. But I've been saying this a bunch, Joe, when I was doing the solo show. The Texans do not have nearly as much cap space to play with as we think they do, as we thought they would going into this offseason. They got a lot of guys that they got to figure out how to bring back. And are you going to give all those guys long-term deals so that you can push the money down the road? And I know when we talk about money, it's if you don't see a spreadsheet in front of you, it's a little bit difficult to visualize. But there's a long list of potential free agent Houston Texans that you'd like to see some of them come back. Giving any player a franchise tag limits your flexibility. It means that for specifically this year, you have less money to work with and that you might have to give some guys to keep them around long-term, long-term deals that you might end up regretting like you're the New Orleans Saints at the end of the thing.
Yeah, now the thing about the Saints, I think it's a good example, though, of bringing them up, is like they always have a way to figure it out, you know, moving money around. So like a guy like Titus Howard.
People in Louisiana know how to move money around.
Yeah, they got it down, right? Every year they go into the offseason, like they have negative $30 million in cap space, and then they just give all these
guys.
They're
doing something illegal.
Signing bonuses.
I feel like the Rams are doing something illegal.
It makes no sense.
What are the specifics that the Rams are doing? I truly don't know because of all the guys that they were giving extensions to not too long ago. Pretty crazy that they're still a competent football team. No, it's this. I mean, it's Louisiana.
You don't think Cal McNair can figure it out?
Listen. No offense to Louisiana, but it's a state of criminals, right? Like, I mean, what are we talking about here? See, you got your own Sin City in Louisiana. And listen, I respect it. Louisianans are the most fun people there is.
That's true.
They know how to move books. We don't. There's no one in the. That's not very Texans worthy. That's not the Texans way.
The Texans way is just
to cook your books, to do illegal things with the money.
Wait. Speaking of the Texans, just one quick note. Want to make sure, because we didn't mention this earlier.
Yeah.
The lawsuit, the guardianship from Kerry McNair towards Janice, I guess, has been dropped. So the whole thing, the whole show, everything was just done. Like, as soon as he lost the ability to get her to get, like, a medical exam or a wellness exam, whatever it was, I think he knew at that point he had lost. So he just decided to basically just ruin his family for no reason.
See, that's what I
so
can't
stupid.
Get past. If you do something like this, I assume it could be done privately and delicately. And the way that this has played out, we don't know all the specifics, but I just, as a mama's boy, I have no idea how you can drag your mother through public proceedings like that, expecting things to be, one, okay on the other side between everybody, but two, like expecting her to feel okay in that spot. I just think it's such an a-hole move to drag that out into the limelight the way that they did. And again, I don't know the specifics at all. I think about someone doing that to my mom, and I would get pissed off.
Like, do you think, like it's such a short-sighted move, I'd imagine. Like, you're out of the will. For sure.
Yeah, I would think so now. Well, that might have been the issue as it was.
Well, maybe that's what it was. Is he wasn't in the will, so he was trying to basically just take over
the
will.
Oh, wait, though. They got CJ Stroud now. Oh, well, hey.
Like, you're out of Thanksgiving dinner. You're probably not getting Christmas presents. Like, all the fun and games is over. But that lawsuit has been dropped. So, you know, Cal McNair and Hannah, like, they're going to run the show for the rest of the time. And if you were worried that Kerry McNair was going to come in and sell the team or whatever, like that, you have no worries. We got one text here, 4710. What about Kaimi for the franchise tag? I mentioned this on Friday. It's not, like, 100% locked in. But our good buddy Sean Pendergast said on his podcast that he had heard – that in one of the negotiations with Bill O'Brien, one of the restructures that they put in there, that Kaimi Fairbairn can't be franchise tagged. Now, Sean, like he said he's not 100% sure, but it's even if that's a chance that's happening, like I know Sean, you know Sean, like he wouldn't say that unless he was confident. So I don't think they can, you know, franchise tag Kaimi Fairbairn. I'm just going to go with the assumption that he's not an option. If it was, I'd be fine with it because I love Kaimi.
The greatest kicker in Texans franchise history?
I mean, that's a lot of low bars on this team, okay?
He's cleared it fairly well,
though. He has, for sure.
He's cleared it pretty well. I mean,
But everything's a low bar. Like Nico Collins, top five receiver in Texans history.
I don't think you can quite go that far.
Paul.
Did you do the numbers?
I'm just thinking who else? Like Andre Johnson, DeAndre Hopkins.
Will Fuller probably is in that conversation. Well, he probably is. Is the Archer, is Brandon Cooks, does he find his way in?
Because I think the 4,000-yard receivers are would be Nico, Cooks, Hopkins,
and Dre. Gene, you know?
But David Anderson is who I said.
Oh, David Anderson?
Our guy, DA.
I mean, we could just list rando wide receivers and depress ourselves. Kevin Walter, not Walters.
Good correction there.
I mean, Owen Daniels is basically a top five Texans receiver of all time.
That's true. Yeah, it's just like it's a low bar, but yeah, Kyrie is number one. I couldn't tell you who's number two on that list, Paul. I'll be
honest. Not Randy Bullock.
Well, yes, not Fat Randy.
Like. You know what? I had conversations with some people that I guess went to school with Randy Bullock back in the day.
Okay.
And the Fat Randy stuff was happening, I guess, before.
He's
whatever the case, apparently he's a nice guy and he's cool with it, but I would not be cool with that.
No, that's a tough look.
But the way to fix that is to, I don't know.
Not be fat?
Yeah.
Like Christian Javier, was he fat? Yes. Is he fat now? No, he fixed it.
Was he fat?
I thought so.
He seemed chunk.
I think it was like, it looked like his face.
Okay.
Like it looked like he had chipmunk cheeks.
I'll admit, like I'm such a vain, like annoying person when it comes to bods. Like my own inner thoughts about other people, I'm like judging way too much. But Randy Bullock, my god, bro, my god, just clean up a little bit.
He is Paul Gallant. I am Joe George. We are live at Republic Boot Company. Last night, the Houston Rockets lost 123-110 to the Oklahoma City Thunder. We thought maybe there was a chance Jalen Green could get benched at some point after all the stuff that's been going on. He was not. We'll talk about that and last night's game next year on Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
First, let me tell you about my friends at MyBookie, MyBookie.ag. You know the deal if you're listening to me long enough. Promo code BET975, and you can gamble on everything. We're not just talking about the sports such as the NBA, college basketball. No, you want to do a little gambling? You want to throw some dice around? You want to, I don't know, play a little roulette? Some Texas Hold'em? Guess what? MyBookie.ag is an online casino. And you can play from anywhere. You don't even have to wear pants. How about that? Turn your space into your casino with mybookie.ag. The promo code is BET975. You get an awesome deposit bonus right away that you can play with right away. So you can bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with mybookie.ag.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Gallant and George, broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios located at Republic Boot Company in the Heights.
Joe George, Paul Gallant here with you on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, broadcasting live from Republic Boot Company. They have rodeo-ready boots here, 15% off. If you get a custom pair of boots as well, you get a Turtle Box speaker, a $400 value. You don't have them all here in stock, but if you get the custom boots, they will make sure you get yours as well. I was actually looking at some of the ones over there on the top left. Those NASA ones are really cool.
You going to get those?
I don't know. I don't have boots yet. It's been on my to-do list. I've been in Houston for 9 years.
Yeah, you have no excuse.
You have
no excuse.
Well, I used to be poor. I'm still a little poor-ish.
I mean,
I'm a child.
Listen,
but
you still got to find your boots.
I know. I need to get boots. I'm probably going to walk out.
Just get into credit card debt. It's fine.
I'm probably going to walk out.
It's fine.
Like, I have to sit here for 3 hours and babysit the board babysit this for Joel and Jeremy.
Those NASA ones are pretty cool. They're a lot cooler than actual NASA, which is the most underwhelming visit I've ever made to a museum in my life. I thought that was the worst thing I've ever seen here.
Yeah, first time I went, like when I first moved down here, I was like, okay, this is cool. I'll probably never go again until I have a kid, and because it's like a one-time thing.
It sucks. I'm sorry.
It's not great.
The parts that they show you, you don't get to go on the moon buggy. What? Oh, cool! I can walk around in a big outdoor, what are they? Hangars with some rockets in it. There's a effing Angry Birds playpen.
Yes.
When you first get in there, what are we doing? Well, I want to have the cool visit to NASA. And, yeah, I'm sorry. I was so let down by it. Like, we're the Space City. And NASA, not fun.
The only time I've been back since and really enjoyed, I do feel like the Christmas lights are very good there.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. Are you a big Christmas lights guy?
I'm not.
Are you going out and looking at Christmas lights by yourself every year?
No, I'm not Aaron Rodgers on ayahuasca all the time, you know? Like, what? I'm going to go see Christmas lights, fireworks, Christmas lights. I do have my own Christmas lights still up. Haven't taken them down.
Outside or inside?
Inside.
That's fine.
I still have my Christmas tree up, too.
That's fine.
It is February. I still haven't sent out my Christmas cards yet.
That's tough. I mean, at this point, there's no point in sending them.
No, there is. I'm okay with them getting them in March. I've done this before, but I just procrastinate everything so much.
At this point, do you just wait till July? Because a lot of people do celebrate Christmas in July.
But it does say happy 2023. I mean, I got to get it in the first quarter of the year.
Like, times have been tough. Had to wait to send them out. Like, here you go.
I mean, I don't even have an excuse. I'll just say, like, you're lucky you got them. F you.
Yeah.
I didn't even want to do these anymore.
Or just like get white out and just like get rid of the 3 and change it to a 4 and use it next year. Like, you're fine. All right. So last night the Rockets lost 123-110 to the Thunder. I mean, this is a disheartening first two games. I think is how I would call it, Paul. Like to get smoked by the Pelicans and then to lose by 13 to the Thunder coming out of the All Star break. It just
They are what they are. I have a hard time getting mad about the Rockets because everything they've done to this point, even if it's not up to the standard that I guess we were hoping for in year one from Ime Udoka, it's been good. They are so much better than they were last year. The problem is you haven't entirely flushed everything from the previous regime out of the mix. And, I mean, the guy that is the easy punching bag for anyone who watches the Houston Rockets is Jalen Green, who apparently is very sensey when it comes to dealing with some people who are kind of on the Houston Rockets beat, but at the very least are 100% online content creators when it comes to the Rockets. He's been sensitive with not just one. So that is not a thing I want to have on a team that has a head coach that came from the Boston Celtics where toughness is prioritized. I don't want somebody to be really a part of this anymore who is checking his mentions afterwards.
Yeah.
It's just very unhealthy to do, and he's young, but what Jalen Green's been doing on that front is dumb. And I'm kind of stunned, Joe, what we've seen since the very ominous, we might do a lineup change after the All-Star break. I'm not going to lie, I'm a little let down by hard-ass Ime Udoka not actually following through there.
Yeah, I mean, especially because even though, like, Amen Thompson, like, from a field goal shooting percentage was obviously not good last night, 2-for-10, you're seeing it right now when he plays in the last two games, offensively and defensively. He's fun to watch. Mm-hmm. Like, going up and he blocked Bol Bol the other day. Like, he's all over the place. He had a good block on SGA yesterday, I think it was. I love watching Amen Thompson play. And, frankly, like, I just – even though, yes, like it's, I guess in theory your offense is worse with, you know, Amen Thompson in there next to Fred VanVleet. Is it really? Because like all Jalen Green does is throw up bricks. So at least like you have someone that's like fun and plays defense and plays with effort all the time.
You have some terrible shooters on this team, and what's worse is that some of the terrible shooters also don't seem to have the best team first attitude and believe that they are being misused. So, to me, yeah, who cares who's shooting? Who cares what's being shot? It's really like, who's buying into what Udoka's trying to do?
Yeah.
The Silas stuff, which, bless his heart, but the man is not a head coach. That stuff takes time to get out. That loser juice ferments. Look at the Sixers. You know, I know the Sixers are better now, but the Sixers are losers. Mm. They're a loser organization. It is in their blood. They care more about numbers than they care about winning. That's something that came out, I think, the other day, and it's not that surprising. And when you allow losing habits to be a part of your organization for years and years and years, what do you expect? You're going to get some really fermented, strong toilet wine, you know, that you get in prison. It's going to be very strong. It's going to be a part of this organization. You can't get it all out.
And that's why I think people miss the mark on what Tillman Fertitta said when they hired Udoka, like talking about phase two in like what the Rockets are going to be. He said it's also about learning how to win again.
And that's what it is. It's about, like, the culture of the Rockets is losing and going to strip clubs and going to Vegas the night before a game and being James Harden. I
hated that.
And, like, because even, like, Jalen Green and these guys are hanging out with James Harden still. At least they were at one point.
At least Harden could do this, though. You know, like, for all of the things that I hate about the way Harden plays, because I just think it's a dishonorable brand of basketball to just rely entirely off of theatrics and cheap parlor tricks. But the guy delivered every night when he was going out and getting hammered, you know?
100%.
He showed up. And I'm not saying that that's what Jalen Green is doing, but I just think Jalen Green has some ridiculous diva tendencies. Like, dude, you have done nothing. Nothing. You haven't even done anything at the college level to make people think that you're notable. And I get it, okay, like, he chose the G League route or whatever, but, like, I'm sorry. Why am I supposed to respect you? Why is everyone else supposed to respect you? You did not play at any level in your career where someone needs to respect your very obvious skill. And I think he carries himself with an arrogance that's just undue.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And I think, like, the social media stuff that you mentioned, because it's not like this is new. Like, the idea that he's, like, DMing Roosh and Jackson and basically threatening them for, like, I don't know if it's, like, to me it sounds like he's, like, if you're not nice to me, like, I'm not going to talk to you. But then he's also at the same time getting their DMs, being like, I'm not the problem.
Yeah.
But this is the same guy. We've seen this before where there's a conversation happening on Twitter, and then all of a sudden there's this vague Instagram post, an Instagram story for Jalen Green. Like, it's very Deshaun Watson-y when Deshaun Watson was, like, just communicating through rap lyrics.
But, again, Deshaun Watson has done things.
National champion.
And at the NFL level, very good player when he was healthy.
Oh, yeah.
And before all this stuff happened. That's what I do not understand with Jalen Green. Who do you think you are? And I suppose some 34-year-old white man saying this about you could say the exact same thing back. But yes, at least I know what I am. This man does not know what he is, and that's what I hate the most about it. And I mean, if he's not even listening to Udoka, Udoka's done more than as a basketball coach than you have as a player. Let's stop.
I don't even think it's close. The conversation of should Jalen Green be a Rocket next year? It's so easily
Have you seen some of the people who are like, you need to keep playing him to keep his trade value up?
Why?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, honestly, I don't know if it helps you. Like, I think, like, in, like, 90% of the time, like, I guess I would agree with those people. But, like, do you guys actually watch Jalen Green play basketball, the people who say that? All he does is go 3-for-14, take bad shots, zero effort on defense.
He does have the occasional good night.
Yes.
And that's what you see, and you think, well, that could be him all the time. But the thing that you got to remember, when you see players that can, from time to time, put together a night like that, in any sport, there's a reason that they're a professional. There's a reason that they were drafted early. Consistency is the trick that is so difficult for so many athletes that make it to the highest level. And he is not that, and it does not seem like he is going to become that in the near future. I still think that he could be a great sixth man somewhere someday. I just think it's not going to happen here. And I'm at the point now where I cut my losses. I'm washing my hands. Do I need to have – we've been through, what, three quarters of a season?
Mm-hmm.
What's going to change between here and now? What's going to happen the last couple of weeks of the year where Jalen Green is all of a sudden a more tradable asset? He's going to buy in all of a sudden and actually maybe be a better part of his team. I just don't really see it happening at this point. And, yeah, it might be a punitive measure, and it might be cutting your hand off, I suppose, a little bit in just saying this is what your new role is. But whatever they're trying with him right now, it isn't working. And I'm disappointed that Udoka threatened accountability, and yet we haven't seen it.
Yeah, that is disappointing because I think, like, Jalen has shown who he is. We know the answer going forward. I agree he could be a sixth man. But the problem, like, is that his player comp, the ego on these guys is too big. Like, it's not often, like, player comps going to a draft are perfect. Not the Kobe one for Jalen Green because that's stupid. But he's Zach LaVine. Like, I've watched Zach LaVine and Jalen Green play basketball so much over the past 3 years, because, like, that's who I watch is the Bulls and the Rockets. They're the same player.
That's pretty, like, funny that you say that, because there were a lot of people that were turning their nose up at the idea of trading for Zach LaVine at the trade deadline,
insane, because they're literally the same player.
Right. That's what I think is funny.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, too. Even the psycho Rockets fans online who are just drunk off of their asses that red Kool-Aid, even they're turning on it.
Well, when you lose Rockets Twitter,
yeah,
the homerist of all the fan bases in this city, mm-hmm. you got a real problem.
Yeah.
Sean Mapes in the building.
What's up, dog?
It's just like when you lose people like Sean Mapes, Homer Rockets fans,
yeah.
like you really know like you're in trouble with the fan base.
Yes, that's true. So Sean, who's just sitting down with us right now, the thing that we were discussing is that, and this is, might be a post-Mexico revelation, is that I think I'm out on Jalen Green. I just think I'm out entirely on Jalen Green, okay?
This is post-Mexico?
This is post-Mexico. I, you know, did a little ayahuasca, you know, some. I'm just kidding on both of those things.
Yeah,
but no, it was all alcohol. No, no, I mean, I'm not going to do stuff down there. Come on.
Why not?
I'm not gonna only American.
You're sitting there at the pool, staring, yeah. holding a umbrella drink, and
Paloma,
with yeah. a sombrero on your head.
I wouldn't do that.
And
great hair. Come on.
Yeah. Okay. And you're like, you know what? The guy's been shooting 20% all year. Not sold on him.
Like, I'm sold now. Like going to Mexico. Like I'm assuming all you could drink, all you could eat,
all inclusive. Pretty
all
sick.
Inclusive. It's, wow. We did it. Well, I did it last year in December. It's awesome.
I'd never done an all inclusive before.
We literally were.
It was very cool.
Credit card debt, Paul. My wife and I yep. were deciding how this weekend how much credit card debt we want to go into because we want to go back and do it again this year. So you inspired us already. All right, he is Paul Gallant. Sean Mapes is here. I think Sean showed up for this one segment. Because Cam Newton got jumped yesterday.
Oh.
So QBs we trust the least to get jumped and handle it the way Cam Newton did. And the reason why Sean's here, because we're also going to do the same exact thing for ESPN 97.5 personalities and producers. That's next here on Glott and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
To Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live inside the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Republic Boot Company in the Heights.
Joe George, Paul Gallant, Sean Mapes hanging out at Republic Boot Company. So yesterday, or over the weekend, all of a sudden there was this fight video going around. And I was watching it, I was like, that's a big dude. Somehow I totally missed that it was Cam Newton. Like the first three times I watched it, I don't know.
How?
I don't know.
He's got a hat.
I don't know.
The way I saw it was, oh my god, someone tried to jump Cam Newton. Emphasis on the word tried.
I know. And then Cam Newton was like throwing hands. It's like six dudes. First of all, like, why? I'm still trying to figure out why.
I want to know the why too.
Like, what did Cam do? Because he's probably not totally innocent in this.
Maybe it was vengeance for the stolen laptop at Florida. Ugly. You know, they finally tracked him down.
10 years later? No, 15 years later?
Hey, I'm that petty. I'd hold that grudge that
yeah,
long.
Yeah, you would. I expect better from these, I assume, 17-year-olds that think they can
That's
jump Cam Newton.
Yeah, like, and then and they were like, oh, they were kids. I was like, oh.
I mean, only people stupid enough to try to jump Cam Newton. You have to be a kid.
Well, I saw someone posted the video from him from, like, his rookie year. When he got into that fight at training camp.
Yeah.
And he, like, threw hands with one of the corners on the Panthers. And I was like,
it was Josh Norman.
That's right. It was Josh Norman.
And he was smiling from ear
to ear. Cam Newton's, like, smiling with, like, his helmet off. It was great.
You've heard me, Sean, say it before. Sometimes, and I don't have kids, so Joe can't say this.
Okay.
Sometimes a kid needs to get its ass kicked.
Agreed.
Right? Like, and so I kind of wish Cam had actually gone on them. And the problem is for Cam as a public figure, if one of these kids that assaults him, if he actually hurts the kid, he could probably get sued.
Yes, but if you do notice, he does not actually throw a punch in the video.
He did not.
He is very much handling these kids, but he is not like actually striking them. And that, I mean, savvy move from Cam Newton. You edged dangerously close to Adrian Peterson territory, but I'm glad we're keeping it with a different.
No, not that.
A different freak athlete from the 2010s.
But some teenagers are little bastards, and they do stuff like this, and it's like, oh, but they're kids. They're fine. Like, I've brought up this story before. Those two little bleeps, which I called them that to their face at the Dynamo game, that threw those two giant placards that they had turned into paper airplanes that hit me in the head. I politely and calmly walked up to them and said, like, listen, you're lucky you hit someone like me. You hit somebody else, like, they're not going to handle this the way that I am. So stop being little bleeps. I go up to the bathroom and their terrible mother, who clearly needed someone to work on the birth control department with her, this broad. She gets in my face, starts shrieking at me and yelling at me like, how dare you talk to my kids? And I'm like, are you serious? Your kids are little animals. You should be in a cage.
Yeah. You're lucky the dad wasn't there, though.
It was the brother was there. No, so security stepped in because they thought I was going to get in a fight. And I was like, listen, like, if you want to kick my ass all you want, you can, but your kids suck.
You shouldn't start with that.
Well, if that's what he wanted to do, I mean, that's not going to change the fact that his kids are a little you know, people that probably. I'm not going to say that.
All right, so.
Good restraint.
Quarterbacks,
on day one.
I know. Quarterbacks who you least trust to get jumped. And handle themselves as well as Cam Newton.
Dak, sadly, is at the bottom.
Elephant in the room. We have to mention it.
Okay, he's not number one. He's not the last quarterback on my list. I have him fourth. I have three quarterbacks that I think would do worse than Dak Prescott.
We know that Dak Prescott can get jumped, though.
I know. I know.
Very hard.
He's 0-1 lifetime
I know
on video.
But still, like, Bryce Young's in the NFL. He's 5'6". Like, he's 180 pounds. I have Tua. Because, you know, brain injuries.
The concussions,
I feel like he's like a one punch. Like, he gets punched in the face once, he's down.
Southpaw, though. Yeah, so,
that's true.
Someone would need to throw him those headgear that you wear
the sparring.
Yeah, and that's the only way, like, he can survive. And then you guys do a soft-ass boys?
Soft boys.
Yeah. Russell Wilson. Come on. There's not a single part of me that thinks if Russell Wilson got jumped, he wouldn't, like, go on all four – cry.
He's tough. I'm not a big Russell Wilson fan, but that guy gets sacked a ton, and he withstood those sacks. And he's sturdy. He's underratedly, like, thick.
That's what he has that Bryce Young doesn't have, is that he has a strong base, like you said. I mean, much like the online reaction to Cam Newton, the people thinking they can jump Cam Newton and – just showing Cam Newton highlights and being like, Clay Matthews couldn't tackle this guy.
Yeah.
What makes you think you could?
Yeah.
Same thing goes with Russell Wilson, I think.
That he could, like, be a little sturdy in that moment.
Yeah, you're just not going to get him to the ground.
Yeah, I just don't think he's a
low center of gravity
fighter.
Well, he has big hands.
I think big
mitts.
That's true. He does have big hands. You're right.
I mean, Kenny Pickett's screwed.
Yes.
Because he has small hands.
Kenny Pickett.
Unless he's doing judo chop.
Kenny Pickett's on the victim list. Yes. Yeah. It's like victim list and don't mess with list is how you can separate these quarterbacks.
CJ is obviously on the don't mess with list, I would assume.
Oh, that moment that he had against the Broncos. Yeah. I even asked him about that afterwards, and he's like, yeah, I stand on business. I was like, oh, I love this, CJ.
CJ Stroud would be not on my list of getting their ass kicked
triable.
In this moment.
Definitely not. You know... this is a guy who used to play for the Texans. I think he actually would have done pretty well in this situation because I always thought he was super calm and collected and almost not moving in the pocket. Tom Savage. I think Tom Savage would have done all right.
Tom Savage is the boxer that you can just hit in the head 50 times and
he'll just
down.
Keep coming.
There was a game.
He's a zombie.
Do you remember the game against the Cardinals where he got absolutely, like, just knocked out for a couple of seconds and he got back up and like he was fine. And then everyone was putting Bill O'Brien on trial for, like, war crimes because he couldn't see that in the middle of the game. And I don't know how he would have been able to see what happened to him. He doesn't have the TV on the sideline so that he could actually determine that in the moment. But, yeah, I think he would have done okay. Brock Osweiler, meanwhile.
Oh, he would be.
Big tree fall hard.
Yeah.
I still feel like Schaub would be okay. Like, going back, he's got old man strength. Even when he wasn't old, I just feel like he's one of those guys that has old man strength.
Yeah. David Carr with that OG overall pick money. He's going to need to, you know, he's the kind of person that's going to try to throw money at the fight to stop it.
Like, can I give you guys $20? Stop punching me in the face.
I feel like after all the sacks he took, like, that's the last thing he wants to deal with.
Yeah, I feel like young David Carr would have gone down with
Fresno
a fight.
Fresno State David Carr.
It would have been a fight. Like, it was someone you know, it's on the border, but it's not worth it. After 190 sacks in his first 3 years, I think he's much more
this
tribal.
Is a good point by poor Marine. Surprising. Brock Osweiler had his pizza box fight.
I forgot about that. I'm sorry what I said, Brock. I'm sorry about what I said. Yeah, he held the pizza the whole time. I was like, damn, man, you could probably be a waiter at, like, a really ratchet, like, Roadhouse-style bar.
I forgot about the pizza box fight. That was the fun part of this conversation, even more fun now. Who do you trust least on the 97.5 staff to get jumped and handle business?
Well, I have been jumped before.
Okay.
I have been jumped. It was a pickup basketball game at the LA Fitness on, was it Westheimer in, like,
South Gessner is where I used to go when I first lived here. And, yeah, I stole the ball from somebody who definitely was embarrassed that someone skinny and white like me maybe took it. And I went up for a breakaway layup, and he tackled me. So I picked up the ball, threw it as hard as I could at him, and said, "Watch it, you bleeping psycho." Went out to the three-point line thinking I was going to get the ball checked to me, turned around, boom. And I went down like a sack of potatoes. 2-4 lifetime fighter, Paul Gallant.
2-4 lifetime.
No, I would not do so well.
That's a good number to know.
Chris from Sam Houston nominated me right away.
Yeah, you don't got the height.
Yeah, I understand.
You're a small fella.
I am a scrapper. I've gotten a few scraps in my life.
From the south side of Chicago or the north side of Chicago?
From the north side.
Oh, yeah, you're a bitch.
No, no.
You're a lacy. You're a lace curtain person like
really,
myself.
And really, the honest school. Truth is, like, I'm really more from, like, Katy. Yeah. I'm from, like, the Chicago version of Katy.
That's pretty much where I'm from. Lied. We would not have called you.
Yeah. I was like, oh, okay. Okay. Like, you might be strapped.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
No. You grew up a cheap Pete.
I feel like Mapes would handle his own well. Not that we're like that much different
like,
size here.
I feel like I'm middle, like, middle of the road. I feel like I'd be. I don't think I'm the last pick, but I'm definitely not the first pick.
I've never seen you mad still, which is amazing, seeing as I am.
I have to work with you.
Yeah.
Well, so now I know that if he gets mad, it's my fault. If he's never got mad at you, like if Sean one day just like starts throwing stuff in the studio, it's gonna be my fault.
He might have been mad at me. I just have never been able to read his anger. Oh, see, he's laughing, so
I've been, like, frustrated, I would say.
Yeah. Like, not, like, mad.
Yeah, just be like, what the hell, dude? Like, there's been a lot of exasperated throw my arms up.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a timeout here. It's ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 coming to you live from Republic Boot Company. This is Gallant and George coming up next. Paul Gallant is going to be picky this offseason for the Texans. That's next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.